anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, people commit crimes and break the rules all the time. It's human nature. I mean, hell, it's why we have police, lawyers, judges, locks, security cameras, security guards, tasers, prisons, fireballs, fingerprinting, etc., etc. But in spite of those deterrents, people are gonna people. And if they get caught, then there's a price to pay. Now, sometimes the punishment isn't so bad considering the crime. For example, a Nebraska woman who drove drunk and killed a man was sentenced to 5 years. Probation. Now, sure, she'll also have to spend 90 days in jail, but I think we can all agree that 5 years probation, bit of a slap on the wrist when you've actually killed someone. For an even lighter slap on the wrist, we go to California, where a woman was sentenced to 2 years probation and 100 hours community service. What did she do? She stabbed her boyfriend 108 times. Now, on the other hand, people have received life in prison for, among other things, attempting to cash a stolen check, breaking into a closed liquor store, and, my God, siphoning gasoline from a truck. But like we said, the punishment doesn't always fit the offense, but there's usually some kind of penalty. In India, a guy stole a gold necklace. Now, he swallowed the evidence, so he was force-fed 40 bananas until he pooped it out. And then after that, he was made to wash and disinfect the necklace and return it to its owner. No jail time. He just had to poop it out. That was the whole thing. But it's kind of humiliating. And humiliation, that's a punishment. Hell, American Airlines, they're testing a new system that will shame travelers who attempt to board before their group is called. There'll be a beep, and then the agent will say loudly, "Step aside." Now, it's not the worst thing that can happen, but it's humiliating. You kind of look like a self-entitled douchebag, but hey, whatever works. Hell, on yesterday's show, the shot of the day, a guy got a $1,000 fine from the health department of New York City because someone else crop dusted him and it smelled that bad. He ended up fining the business owner. But look, whether it's writing your name on the chalkboard 500 times because you did something stupid in school, or you spent a little time in prison, or maybe your parents just grounded you, who knows? Today's question is, what did you do, and what was the punishment you received?
To be a part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Home of Cholos, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4204. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Steve, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. You bring us three stories in the news. Who would know the people do bad crap? But they do.
I know, stunning.
And we pit those three stories against each other. It is up to you to determine, out of the three, which one actually sucks the least. So how's this week looking on Who Sucks Less?
You know, Ted asked me that, as he often does, you know, preparing himself. And I said, look, it's not the worst. Picture the village people, all right? Mm-hmm. You got a cop. He wasn't really a police officer, a construction worker. Not really working construction. Imposter day. Imposter day.
Okay.
Everyone is an imposter.
I think dude was in the Navy.
He may have been. Actually, I want to say the guy that dressed in the Navy outfit and Navy whites was also a cop later. Or he was a cop originally. It was the same dude. Because he was the front guy for the village people. And when in the Navy was big, he's rocking the Navy outfit. But all the other times, he's rocking the cop outfit.
Is that a band that still goes on tour?
I want to say, man, like they did a tour, like toured 3 years ago. I don't know, but I know it's
because we see all the concerts come around, come to town, and everything else. I do not recall the time that we've been here in 20 years that I've ever seen YMCA, the Village People at the Moore Theater.
I want to say it was fairly recent, man. In the last couple of years, I want to say Victor Willis, I believe that's the name of the lead singer guy. He wrote all the songs. He's still there. I don't know if there's any original backup guys left, but.
Okay.
But they're around.
I know they're in the news because basically they came out and were like, yeah, it's fine if Trump uses our YMCA.
Macho Man, YMCA, what did he use? Would you pick YMCA?
Is it Macho Man?
Yeah, I would go Macho Man for a presidential, you know, not promoting.
No, I'm pretty sure he uses YMCA.
Really?
I think he uses both. Okay. Either way, they're gay anthems.
Yeah.
So basically the dude, one of the original members, is just like, Yeah, at first it seemed odd, but he's like, we don't care. Yeah. Bring it attention to our song.
We're doing well on Spotify, homie.
Who Sucks Less is coming up. We'll do that at 4:30, right after emails on our question. What did you do, and what was the punishment that you received?
All right, so there's only one original member.
Victor Willis?
Yep.
All right.
Check.
It's a shame I know that much about the Village People, but here we are.
We'll start with this story. As Indian police have successfully deployed an unusual technique to retrieve a gold chain that a thief had swallowed while being pursued by officers, they force-fed him more than 40 bananas. Now, Ted, is your gold chain not of, is that not Indian gold?
Indian, yeah. Indian
what is gold. It? And there is a difference, you say, as far as the difference in the quality of the gold, right?
Yeah, it's higher carats and cheaper price.
All right.
Okay. So, this is what he swallowed. The man denied...
Look, if you're going to swallow gold, any gold's the way to go.
All right.
Put that on a shirt.
He denied snatching the chain from a woman in a street and swallowed it in a bid to conceal his crime last week. But there are x-ray machines in hospitals, so, yeah, there's the necklace right in his stomach. Police in the western Indian city administered an enema. Now, that failed to yield the desired results.
So, he got a clean butt. At least.
Have you ever done an enema?
I have performed an enema. I have never received an enema.
Did it work?
It worked and it worked abruptly, just not to throw my daughter under the bus, but it's a couple of years ago. And what sucked about the situation, one, is just doing an enema. But she was 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't remember. But my wife and I are actually at her school for an adult function at the school, right? One of the fundraising things. And my parents are watching the kids. And I got a text from my father that says, it's not like a super emergency, but you need to bring your ass home and do this. So my text back, what is this? It's like an enema, right? And I'm just like, oh, man, all right, fine. So I hop in the car, like 5-minute drive home. I get there. My father looks really upset. And I'm like, is she okay? Talking about my daughter. He goes, yeah, man, she's fine. He goes, look, I didn't think about it. She's all backed up. I went to the pharmacy. And I was not thinking about it. I just bought 2 enemas and nothing else. I'm an 80-year-old man. So just the look that the cashier gave him really pissed him off. So, yeah, did the enema. And it's such a weird, because I'd never done it before, you know, and it's your kid. And it's pretty self-explanatory what you got to do. So I just said, look, baby, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think it hurts. I think it's just going to feel weird. But let's do this in the bathtub. Because my understanding is, if this works quickly, like, whatever's in there is coming out. And that proved to be the right decision. But to give you an idea, so we do the enema, and it releases her bowels. And she turns around, this little child, puts both of her hands on either side of my face, cradling, and just says, thank you, Dad.
It's all worked.
And I'm like, I am being heartwarmed after giving someone an enema. I did not expect it like this, but, you know, you take your wins where you can.
I used to have to give them to myself after my surgery, and it was...
Is it easier to give it to yourself, do you think?
No one wants to shove anything up there.
That's the difference. It's like, if you have to do a blood draw, if someone else sticks the needle in me, I have no problem, but I can't get myself to jam the needle in.
Okay, if you're with someone, right, and they're into whatever they're into doing, you know... they might take a finger and put it in places.
Sure.
Depending on what they're into, right?
Yeah.
But if you are just solo time by yourself...
Yeah, that's not my go-to move.
You would never think to do that on time.
Yeah.
So you really don't... Like, that's not something that you typically self-administer?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean...
Ted, I will say, the look on your face of Miles is like, during solo time, it seemed like you're noodling it, like...
He's like, you never would. Like, speak for yourself.
Might check the tires on that tonight, buddy.
Well, I've never done it. But I did stick that thing up there. Basically, it just felt like the water was just coming back out.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I saw.
So,
but not just water.
They suggested performing an operation on this guy, but police officers decided it would be too expensive, and they opted instead for bananas. And I've never heard of bananas being, you know, something that was a diuretic, but I guess it is.
I guess if you eat 40 of them.
Well, he was fed more than 40 bananas throughout the day. Amazing he didn't have, like, a potassium situation. Eventually, the chain was found. We made him wash it and disinfect it. And then he put it around the woman's neck. No. According to reports, it was not... Do you want that chain at this point?
Just keep reading. It depends. All right. It depends on the victim.
It was not the first time police, I guess, have used this technique in order to recover something that was swallowed. In July of last year, a chain was retrieved after a thief was made to eat 2 dozen bananas and drink several liters of milk laced with laxatives.
God.
In April, a thief was fed 5 dozen bananas after swallowing a gold chain with a large pendant. This is obviously something that happens all the time.
And it works.
The thief successfully excreted the loot. but the disgusted victim refused to touch it and instead took it to a jeweler in a plastic bag.
Yeah, so it depends on the victim whether or not you want that gold chain back.
Good guy.
I never knew that about the Indian police, right? So obviously, because like you said, Ted, you know, Indian gold means whatever it means, but obviously this is it's a hot target. It's something that people snatch all the time, and obviously people swallow it to hide the evidence, and they're like, hey, man, it's banana time, bro,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to watch you.
I like bananas, but eating 40 in a day would be a lot of bananas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ton of bananas.
Now we have this story out of Georgia. A pair of West Georgia parents facing charges after being accused of locking their kids in their bedrooms for hours and days at a time.
Jesus.
They say one of the children told investigators that he had spent the last several days locked in his bedroom without food, water, or a restroom. When deputies searched the home, they found that each child's bedroom had a deadbolt on it that locked from the outside. The exterior doors and windows had been boarded up to keep the children from escaping. Investigators learned that the children would be locked in the bedrooms for hours at a time or for days and would only be given food at their parents' discretion. They were also only given a bucket to use as a restroom. Both parents were arrested, charged with four counts of cruelty to children and one count of false imprisonment, according to jail records.
That was real imprisonment.
The mom was released on $10,000 bond. The dad was released on an $8,000 bond. What do you think they thought the difference was there between the two parents and the $2,000?
Who got the cheaper one?
The dad did.
The dad.
By $2,000. So $8,000 for dad, $10,000 for mom. What? How do you make that?
I mean, it's the mom's idea?
Maybe dad still went along with it. My mm-hmm. thought when you hear stories like that is, why did you have children?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're going to lock them in root, like, then why did you have kids? Good Lord, man.
And a judge in Bath over in England was arrested following a confrontation with a police chief at a village board meeting on Monday.
Yeah.
George Robert Plaskoff was charged with harassment in the second degree after he allegedly initiated a handshake with the police chief. That'd be Colin Taft. But then he refused to let go. Do you guys know the just death grip handshake guy, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
He was always like, you know, one of your dad or uncle's friends. It was like,
always look you right in the eye.
Yeah, and you were like 15 or whatever. And he just took your hand and just squeezed the living bejesus out of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, just to show he was the dominant. Like, no kidding, guy. You're an adult.
Right, we get it.
Yeah. Used to professionally box or whatever. I don't know what the deal is, but Jesus Christ, man, let go of my hand. When Taft tried to pull away, the judge allegedly pulled back hard and abruptly, causing the chief, he fell forward and knocked his shin on a chair, which is never fun.
No.
Police said the incident was on video and was witnessed by many people. The judge was processed and released to appear in court coming up here on November 5th.
That's like a whole thing, man, of like dominance in the business world or whatever.
Yeah. And hold it.
Where you hold it, or if you like pull them in or like push it in towards them. There's like classes on it.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, legitimately. Just like, hey, man, if you're about to meet another douchebag, this is what you do. I'm the bigger douchebag.
So our question today, what did you do and what was the punishment that you received? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
Hey, man, long-time caller. I've been calling quite a few times and a lot of listener since the early 80s. So anyway,
we appreciate
that.
Yeah, I
got a good one for you.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's mine.
Are you ready?
Early 80s, me and my brother Todd and my buddy Jerry, we were going scuba diving up in the San Juans. And
Hello.
Hello?
Hello. Hello. All right, we got you.
Okay. Sorry, I turned off my car. We were 30 minutes out to sea, and it was getting dark, and we realized that we left one of the tanks back at the dock, so we had to come back, too late to go back out. So we partied in Bellingham for the night, and we're in this bar, and my buddy noticed a couple girls kissing, and he's just making, oh, look at this, look at that. we're going, okay, well we're out of here, so we... We're walking up these stairs, and this dude comes up. He says, yeah, don't you SOBs come back here again. My brother, Todd Chisholm, he took second place in the nation, heavyweight golden glove.
Uh-oh.
So my brother turns around and knocks this dude down the stairs, and we laugh, and we're going to the next bar, and next thing you know, we're surrounded by 15 dudes. One guy had a club, and... all three of us are some bad dudes, and these guys were coming in, and we were just dropping them left and right. we're in a tight circle, all three of us, back to back to back, and we're just dropping these dudes. And I take this one person, and I get him on the ground, and I punch him, break his nose. Well, I thought it was I thought it was a guy. It ended up being a plainclothes lady officer.
Uh-oh.
That's not good.
Yeah. And they didn't identify themselves. We would have said, hey, help. You know, they didn't say, hey, officers, blah, blah, blah. She had short, dark hair. And it was dark out, and I thought it was a guy. So I got her on the ground, and I just smashed her nose. And next thing you know, we hear sirens. And I had my KISW tank top on.
Don't bring us into this.
Yeah.
All right. Gun show night in Bellingham.
Officer
Dan. Yeah.
You wore a tank top to a bar. I know you're getting into a fight, dude.
Right. So we hear the sirens, and I'm running down this alley, and a motorcycle cop, he gets me. And they identify me from my KSW shirt. The lady cop did. And so, back then, that was my first time being in trouble. I got a rap sheet 3 pages long now, but no felonies. I was just a wild kid. But the prosecutor wanted 9 months. And again, I've never been in trouble before. So my lawyer got it down to 30 days work release. And so that was my punishment. And the deal was, I was actually off of work at the time, and my brother's girlfriend, her parents owned a business, and I just did a little bit of yard work here and there. And I had to stay in the work release in Everett on weekends, but I got... I got to go to church, which I didn't go,
Of course not.
I went to my girlfriend's house, I had my church there.
All right, man. I'm glad that worked out. It could have been a lot worse.
I'm sure glad we don't sell a tank top anymore in the rock shop.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. That's how you got identified to make it worse.
You wear a tank top to a bar. To me right there, I'm like, oh, here we go.
I think in the summertime, you can get away with it.
If you are in Arizona or Florida. A tank top to a
bar.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
I'm just like, here we go.
What did you do and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our show of the day from yesterday. Landlord is raising a stink over the city, fining him for a foul odor in his building in the Bronx. Which he says, honestly, just a fart complaint. John Crotty, he owns a housing development fund on 147th Street. He got socked with a $1,000 summons from the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene for a stink, which they thought could possibly be animal waste. But they absolutely canvassed this building.
Yeah.
And they could not find any sign that an animal had defecated or used the bathroom in any of the hallways or common areas. This is totally outrageous, he said. It's a fart complaint. Joking that the health inspector got crop dusted in the hallway. Either way, most of the time, it's a $50 ticket. This time, they gave him a $1,000 fine for the foul smell, which they said actually dissipated within the next few hours after the man came to inspect the building.
Like a bad fart.
And that's exactly what they're thinking. They're thinking that someone crop dusted the floor in the hallway when he had walked through it, and it did smell like S, he said, but it only lasted for a little while. It could have been from garbage. A lot of people in the building have pets, but we believe, like I said, there was no S on the ground, but it did smell like that for a little while.
Remember, I farted once in the house, and I farted in my bedroom or something. Now I'm in the living room. My kids are young, and they walk into our bedroom. And I hear my son and my daughter talking, and they're dead serious. Like, oh, my God, what is that? And my son just says, it smells like darkness. I mean, there's, like, fear in his voice. And then about, like, dude, I farted. By the way, Miles, one of the stories you brought up, in India, a lot of people steal the gold chains, they swallow them, then they're force-fed bananas until they poop them out. And we're like, I didn't know that worked. The text came in and said, Indian bananas are typically smaller. Now, maybe the size of your thumb.
Wow, really?
I love them. I was eating some, and a gentleman we knew came up to our table, and he said, be careful, those things will plug you up. Then he said,
But this is the antidote, and he pointed at some more bananas. Now, to the untrained eye, I think they were bananas and plantains. All I know is that I went 6 days without pooping in India on one trip before figuring all this S out.
Hmm. Interesting.
So that would explain.
Okay. What did you do, and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cole. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So, this was going on during COVID. I was selling drugs. I was selling meth, heroin, fentanyl, Vanny Bar. I was selling it all.
Okay.
And the DEA got me and my buddy during COVID, and we ended up going to prison, federal prison.
So the DEA, not the police.
Well, it was a joint task force. It was Aberdeen. It was King County, Pierce County. But the DEA superseded it. So we ended up going to federal prison instead of state.
How much product were you moving?
About 5 to 10 pounds of meth a week. Same with heroin, and a couple thousand pills a week.
Were you using as well?
Yes. I got 3 years clean now.
I was going to say, did just going to prison, did that kind of help that out a little bit?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, I was messing up in prison too, but when I went to solitary confinement was when I was like, man, I'm done.
Do you know how long you were in there? I mean, can you keep track of time? Are there windows? Do you have any idea how many days you were in there?
Well, I was in there. I signed for 5 years. They gave me 6. I did 4 years because of the First Step Act that Trump signed off. So, but yeah, I did 4 years in prison.
Okay. But you have no idea how long you were in solitary confinement.
Oh, solitary confinement. Yeah. 81 days.
81
days. Yep.
What do you have to do to get 81 days of solitary confinement?
Dirty UA.
Right, get caught with drugs.
So you actually got caught with drugs in the prison?
No, but they did a random UA on me, and it came back dirty for meth, heroin, fentanyl, and methadone. So they just threw me in solitary confinement and said, here, sit for a while.
Were you doing drugs in the prison?
Yes.
Okay, how did the drugs get in there? Because the judge just got popped locally.
Or a federal prosecutor.
A federal prosecutor, yeah. I just got popped locally for bringing drugs into the prison. I don't know what the sentence is going to be. It's a pretty new story.
Well, actually, you'd be surprised how many guards take payouts to bring stuff in. They could get paid like $10,000 by an inmate just bring a phone in. So they bring all types of stuff in.
Damn.
All right, I got a question. Yeah. Is it like everything I watch all those shows? Like, do you have to like click up with like a gang or a group of a race when you're in federal prison?
It matters where you go to. So West Coast prison where I was at, I went to California, then Colorado. Yes. The whites stick with the whites, the blacks stick with the blacks, and so on.
Okay. There you go, Ted.
So East Coast is actually more laid back.
All right.
That's a statement right there.
Yeah, it is. That really is.
Well, that's part of the thing, right? Like, they had a lot of these guys locked up in California and stuff, and San Quentin and this and that, and then they started running stuff, right? When you're talking about, like, the Mexican Mafia, they start running stuff, but then they end up putting them in these federal prisons, and some of them link up. It's crazy how much stuff is controlled from people inside our federal prisons.
Right.
Damn. They still figure out a way to get messages out and this and that. I mean, it's insanity. I don't know what the answer is, but it's like you put them in these supermaxes and they're still running stuff.
Hmm. Well, look, man, I mean, I'm listening to this dude like I'm a prison guard. Hey, bro, I can get you $10,000. What do you need?
A phone.
What do you need? All right, man, I'll get your phone.
What did you do and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of things that run the world, but money's number one.
Oh, money, absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's kind of the joke about prostitutes, right? It's the oldest profession in the world. Well, it also makes money.
Yeah, that is exactly why.
Prison guards are still Yeah, they're just men and women. You all firm enough.
$10,000 for a phone? I mean, look, this is not role model material here, but I'm thinking, all right, working as a prison guard, it already kind of sucks. No one you're dealing with is awesome. The conditions suck. You're in a horrible place. And this guy needs a cell phone. And you're telling me you'll give me $10,000 to bring it in. Done.
Yeah.
Might not run drugs for you, but a cell phone? Sure, man. Yeah, I'd be like, here, dude, use my phone for $2,000. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't care.
Honestly, I got mine on me.
Yeah, I mean, dude, let me get service. Yeah, there you go. Hello, Eli. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hola.
And I called the radio station before, so bear with me.
All right. We appreciate it, man.
So, story of what I did. We were like 6th, 7th grade, summertime, group of boys, living in Port Townsend. And, it was a hot day. It was like 90 degrees. And for whatever reason, we were unsupervised that day. I think it might have been the roadie week or something. And we were up at the rec center, uptown Port Townsend, playing basketball, messing around, having fun. And we decided to go across the street to the little store called Aldridge's and get some sodas. This was like 1990. So, you know, we all got a couple bucks in our pockets. We're heading across the street, and one of the boys sees a car there, a little Honda Accord, four-door, maroon, nice little car. And he goes, this is Mrs. So-and-so's car, his teacher. He was like, I hate that B. And I didn't even know who she was. I went to a different school. And, you know, like, we were all really good boys. None of us had ever done anything wrong. But at that age, a group of boys.
You're going to be stupid.
Yeah, stupid, right? Real quick. So he's like, let's do something to her car. And we're all like, yeah, that checks out. That makes sense.
Yeah. Can't believe we didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do something. So we have our little forum there, and we're on the, like, we're right on the main street in uptown, middle of the day, and 12 kids, and we decide to egg her car. So, okay, that's the plan. So we walk across the street. The store is now directly across the street from her car, and the store's got all windows facing her car. And we walk in, 12 pubescent boys, and we each grab a carton of eggs and stand in line, one after the other, and pay for our 12 eggs. And then proceed to walk across the street directly in front of the store and egg her car, which, you know, was obvious. People could see us. Anyways, yeah, the being a hot day, it took the eggs in her car, ruined her paint. We, of course, got busted. It was my first running with the law. We had to go into a little juvenile court, and they gave her a new paint job. We all had to pay like $100 for the paint job, and I had to do 20 hours, I think, community service at a little community center, hanging out with these old folks and helping them eat their meals and clean the oven and stuff. But, yeah.
What was worse? Getting in trouble, quote unquote, with the law, which 12 years old, it is what it is, or dealing with your parents?
Surprisingly, like, my mom and my stepdad at the time were super strict people, but I think they just thought it was kind of hilarious and, you know, just let the courts give me the punishment.
Well, okay. If you're at that level, you know, then what more can they do, you know?
Yeah, they were just like, this is a bunch of stupid kids. You know, we hadn't really, we'd never done anything bad before, really, you know, so.
Well, that goes a long way, too. I mean, everybody's going to make mistakes.
That helps a lot.
And you don't realize as a kid that, on a hot day, that will that'll ruin the paint on a car.
They know you don't know. I mean, I got in trouble in high school. You're talking about egging a car. Keep in mind, I did not do this, but we're at the bus stop. It's after school. And so all the kids are out there. We're waiting on the bus. And we took city buses. There's no sticks of butter picking us up. No big deal. And one of the teachers drives by, and a kid throws a bottle at her car. Oddly enough, a liquor bottle. I don't know if he found it on the ground or if he had it in his book bag, whatever. But he throws a liquor bottle, 15, 16. It's high school.
I still think of that. He must have just picked it up.
Found it on the bus on the floor.
Well, the bus hadn't pulled up yet. And, like, none of those are out of the reason, you know, possibility. But anyway, he throws it, and it bounces off the hood of her car, off the top of her car. Not the hood, the top of her car. And she pulls over immediately. gets out of the car. She is hot, you know, understandably. But she's asking for everybody's name. And she's going down, and some of the kids are giving her a name. But she came up to me, and she's like, what's your name? I'm like, I'm not giving you my effing name, dude. I don't have anything to do with this. So now she assumes that I'm the person who's done it because I'm not giving my name. And I'm like, look, I already know this goes. All the names will be turned into the principal. We'll probably all get in trouble. But I haven't done anything. Whether you know that or not, that's a you problem. I'm not giving you my effing name. This goes on for like 30 freaking minutes. I missed two buses arguing back and forth with her. A girl I know ends up giving her my name. So when I go to school the next day, I'm calling to the principal's office, right? And they're going to suspend me, and she's there, and her arms are crossed, and she looks pissed. Again, understandably. But I kept maintaining my innocence the whole time. Like, I didn't throw a goddamn bottle at your car. And part of the reason you can guess I didn't is you're not one of my teachers. There's no reason why I dislike right. you. Like, I recognize you from the school, but I don't know who you are. I don't even know your name. I just know you're a teacher. I did not throw a bottle. Well, who did? I said, I can tell you who did, but I'm not going to roll over on anybody. I'm like, it's not a big deal. I still got suspended. So I'm not sure if I got suspended because they did not believe me.
Or because you didn't.
Or because I, but either way, I'm like, I did not throw the bottle. We went through this yesterday. I missed two buses arguing with you about this. Like, I never threw, and I can't remember her name now, but after that, I'm like, well, now I don't like you, and I actually want to throw a bottle at your damn car. But I did not throw a bottle at your car.
What did you do, and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, the egg thing, man. That happened to my brother.
Oh, right. He's a teacher.
Right, but it wasn't even that. It was some other kid that was, like, on a team. He was, like, I was on the team he was coaching.
Okay.
And honestly, this kid was an idiot. I don't know if he ever graduated high school, blah, blah, blah. But same thing. It's summertime. He thinks he's being funny, and like when my brother dropped him off, he cracked an egg on the roof of my brother's car.
When he dropped him off,
yeah,
he said he's an idiot. So yeah,
like I don't think he made it through high school. I'm pretty sure he got arrested. I don't know what he's doing now, but like he was in and out of jail. But he was just one of those kids that always had to do something smart ass. But same thing, it was so hot that day, like it froze or it fried, right? And then you got to scrape off the paint and this and that.
No. And kids don't know. Like I said, there's a certain age where you're like, look, I'm disappointed in the decision you made, but the end result of your action, I know, is not what you thought would happen, right? So we can sit down and talk about this. The minute you say, I know that you know exactly what you're doing, well, now your ass is in trouble. And that's the way my father was. He's like, look, the biggest thing you have working in your favor, and he would say this to me and my brother when we were younger, he's like, because you're just so, so stupid. He's like, you're just so stupid. We can't even get mad. But he would explain, you know, like, hey, this is why that person is so, so angry. You did this, but this is the fallout for making this kind of decision, right? And honestly, like, we didn't know. But my father was always very clear at the end of his speech, like, so you understand. And he'd say, think about it before you answer, because if you say yes and you do this again, it will be your ass. So one thing I will say, growing up with my dad, I never did the same thing twice. I did a lot of bad stuff.
But just once.
Like, I robbed a bank here.
But just once.
I kidnapped here. Right. I murdered someone here. I broke into something here. Don't do the same thing twice. Because that, my brother did it once to kind of test him. My brother's around 16. I'm 11. And I remember my father got real calm. And didn't yell or anything. They went into my brother's bedroom. Right? Because my brother's 16, so he's feeling good about himself. And I don't remember what it was about. But the door closes, and you just hear this muffled voice. No yelling, nothing, right? Door opens and my father's whistling, which means he's in a good mood. Walks back up the stairs to his bedroom. I peek in my brother's bedroom, man. He's sitting on the corner of the bed in tears, looking terrified. So yeah. I don't know what my father told him, man, but I made a mental note then, like, don't do that. I never did.
What did you do and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Terrell. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
So it goes back to high school. I made the mistake when I left California. I decided to have all white friends, so it seemed safer. That was the worst mistake I ever made in my entire life.
Wow. All right.
These guys, they were reckless. They were reckless. So they decided to rob their friend's grandparents' house. They stole this huge safe. They had a bunch of money and guns and jewelry and all kind of stuff.
Wait, this is their friend's grandparents' house?
Yeah, but at the time, I was fresh out of the Bay Area. It wasn't the most spiciest thing I've been through in my life. So I'm like, all right, you know what, whatever. So long story short, there's a $1,000 bill and a $500 bill. And I'm like, I've never seen one of these before. This is interesting. So I take it and I go to this coin store. Well, the coin store that I went to knew exactly what it was because they sold it to the people who got it stolen.
I'm assuming so, it's still tender. It's still legal to use it, but that was probably out of circulation for a while, too.
Yeah, I went to the bank first, and the bank wouldn't take it. And the people at the bank, the lady at the bank was like, I'll buy it from you, but I don't get out of work till 5. I'm like, well, I want the money now. So I ended up going to the coin store. So the guy, he played me. He goes, I'll give you $1,510. I'm like, well, sounds like a win to me. Free money is free money. So that's how I ended up getting caught with the $1,500, which was over the legal limit, which made it a felony. And then they tacked on trafficking because I went from one side of town to the other. It was bad.
How old were you when all this went down?
16.
All right. And so what is the punishment when they tag on the felonies, now you're trafficking and all this stuff? What's the final result of this?
See, at the time, I worked at Forever 21, and I had to we had a fingerprint clock-in system. So when they went and robbed the house, I was at work. So that's my alibi. I had to clock in with my fingerprint. But I still got possession. So I ended up getting a felony charge, and then I don't know. It was deferred. All I had to do was stay out of trouble for like a year.
Well, that's not the worst thing in the world. Did that felony?
I did have to do 30 days. I did have to go do 30 days, though.
In jail?
Because they waited. No, I was 17. I'm sorry. I was 17. It happened like right after I turned 17. So they kept delaying it and delaying it and delaying it. So when I finally went to court, I was 18. So they technically charged me as an adult. So I had to do 30 days in county.
That helped straighten you out a little bit.
Yeah, I also learned that Kitsap County is a trap.
Yeah. Don't hang out with white kids.
Some of them are still friends with to this day, but we have good jobs and we make good money and we don't do stupid stuff like that. We just go to the bar.
I'll be perfectly
and
honest.
And he's in Kitsap County. He doesn't have a choice.
Some of the biggest derelicts that I knew were people who did not even go to public schools. They went to private schools in my town.
Yeah, they were rich
white kids. And you want to talk about, I'd never seen cocaine before, and kids that were at those schools were dealing it and doing it at 15 and 16 years old. They had parents bought cars that were just, they were always up to no good. I mean, it was never a situation where they could always get out of trouble, whatever the deal was, but those were the guys that we thought were like the biggest criminals in town.
I think you were right.
That we knew.
I mean, look, man, people that don't face repercussions tend to be the worst people to deal with, right? I mean, I believe that is universally true. Like, there was a guy that we used to work with, and Miles would always say to me, we're friends with this guy now, but it was a tense working environment with this guy, and Miles is always like, the one thing I figured out about this guy, he's never had his ass beat.
No.
Not because he's a tough guy. He's just always been sheltered. He's just never been punched in the face because you just change how you approach people.
When you hear the stuff that comes out of people's mouths, you know right away if they've been punched in the face. Based on the language they say, and I've learned a hard lesson that way many, many, many times. It didn't stick the first time.
Right.
As far as what came out of my mouth and getting punched. And trust me, I've been punched many times. But eventually, it finally set in where I'm like, just shut up.
Yeah. That, to avoid getting punched in the face. Or phrase what you want to say.
Because it's never in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't hurt. You're like, all right, hit me again, buddy. Then the next morning you wake up and go, oh, God, Jesus, my face, my head. It's like the adrenaline takes over. By the time you wake up, you're like, I am effed up.
I think it also depends on just who the person is.
Sure.
Because you're right. People, super rich people. Like there were certain schools I knew where those kids did drugs, but they weren't criminals. They didn't scare me.
Right.
There was kids I grew up with that to this day would scare me, would scare you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, that's the other side of it too. Not just rich people. Some people just don't care, so they don't face repercussions because
nothing matters.
They don't care.
When the prison guard greets them by name, they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you ever been sitting in a park and a guy and I'm like, what's that? And he's like, it's a blunt. I was like, what's different? He's like, well, it's an embalming fluid. Now, at the time, I didn't know what that was, but I'm just like, that explains why that guy was like that.
Yeah.
What did you do, and what was the punishment you received? 206-803-ROCK.